Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Speaking of MMQB, Connor Orr joins us now, writes for Sports Illustrated and the MMQB, and he's with us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Connor, how are you? Thanks for joining me.
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Fantastic. You know, it was a great weekend. The games were great, but obviously there's controversy at the end, which is disappointing. Yeah, I've been screaming and yelling about the, you know, usually I'm not the guy who whines about officials. I'm like, you got to find a way to win, and the Saints still could have won the game. But I do think we need to put it, we have the technology to correct these calls, Connor. Why are we allowing egregious mistakes to still happen in the NFL?
Yeah, so I think, honestly, if this season happened last year, the NFL would have had the equity with the fans to put this rule in place to allow judgment calls to be reviewable last year. But I think last year they got caught up in the politics. There were a lot of fans leaving the game complaining then, you know, subsequent times, oh, it's too slow, it's too soft, the game is all this and that. And so I think the league last year was legitimately concerned about tinkering with any of the rules that might make it longer, that might extend play. But I think they have all the fans back. They have the equity. And, you know, like I wrote this morning, you know, I don't think it's going to be that difficult to put in replays. I mean, this is fairly simple. You keep the two challenges. You allow them to challenge judgment calls. In under 2 minutes, you give it back to the booth. You know, I think this could be hammered out over a long lunch at the owners' meetings, to be honest.
I agree. It doesn't, and it's interesting. You're right. It shouldn't be that complicated. The headline of your article today is the NFL just too hard to officiate. Let's talk about that a little bit, because are there enough officials? Are they in good enough shape? And also part of it, obviously, is the fact that with technology and replay, we see so much that some of these things they don't see. Obviously, that pass interference that wasn't called was an egregious error that shouldn't be missed. But talk a little bit about more what you wrote about today in terms of being able to keep up and do a good job. Is it even possible?
Yeah, I give a lot of credit to my editor who kind of asked that question. You know, we were sitting around at midnight in New Orleans, and, you know, we were talking about what we had just seen. And he said, you know, can this game even really be accurately officiated anymore with the naked eye, the way that they set it up now? And, you know, I think it's a great question, because you think about not only the speed of the game, the speed of the athletes, but also the nature of the game right now. How many plays are set up to create borderline illegal traffic, to deceive other people, to make you think the ball is going one way and it's going the other way? And, you know, can anybody with the naked eye at the field level legitimately officiate this? And I think that the answer is unequivocally no. But like you said, we have the technology, and I think it's time now that the viewers have been brought in, they broke down the fourth wall, we can see everything better than the officials can. You know, now the technology just has to catch up to the times, and they have to bring more of that into the game to ensure it's better officiated.
Connor Orr, MMQB. Connor, in your article, the second paragraph, you write, the mental dexterity it takes to associate a piece of legislative minutia from the league's 89-page rule book with a millisecond-long flashpoint in a game played by the fastest and strongest people on earth. This is a great point. And the minutia, I want to get to that, because this is a I think what's happened in replay is we've kind of done it wrong in a way. Like baseball, too. We're breaking down segment by segment to see, did he come off the base after he already slid in it? To me, the point of replay is getting it right. And if it's too close to call, like you said, if it's too close to call, then just leave the call. I don't know that we need to do frame by frame. We just have to get the obvious wrong calls right. That's how I feel. What say you?
I totally agree. And at the bottom, you know, when I had brought up, you know, I had linked some other people's suggestions, but my own suggestion, you know, which I had talked about a little bit today too, was put a minute running clock on Al Riveron in New York. And if the call is not obviously in need of a change after a minute to the head of officiating, then it shouldn't be changed.
That's
but
right.
If he looks at it in 1 minute, so we're not delaying the broadcast, we're not throwing off commercials, you could probably even get Timex to sponsor the countdown watch if the NFL really wants to sell sponsorships there, put a minute running clock on them and say, okay, if you can't decide this is egregiously wrong in a minute, then the call stands and we move on, you know. And I think that they just need to be a little bit more open-minded about the way that they use replay, and I don't think that they need to be very scared about extending the game.
Yeah, agree. Connor Orr, the MMQB. Connor, I was also talking earlier about, you know, I've always, it's not like I'm just saying it because the Patriots won. I've always hated the NFL overtime rules. I think college gets it half right. Just that I think there should always be a matching opportunity to score, in my opinion. I don't like the idea of starting at the 25-yard line. But what do you think of that? Do you think that teams should always get to match in overtime, or are you happy with the current rule?
You know, I think it's almost all the way there. We debated this on the podcast today. I think my colleague Albert Breer kind of brought up the best consensus to me, which is, you know, what's sort of the most universally liked overtime in any sport, and, you know, whether that's, soccer, you know, a lot of people say that the game shouldn't come down to penalty kicks, of course, but, you know, their overtime period where, you know, it goes on for two or three periods of just normal time. And we said, well, what if the NFL just did a straight 10 minutes, right? And no sudden death, and whoever scores more points at the end of that 10 minutes, that would be the only thing that I could say could probably improve on the current rule. But I like the current rule. I mean, it gets games over on time, which is what the NFL is really concerned about at the end of the day. And, it does give your defense a chance to stop them. Defense is a part of this game, too.
Yeah, that's fair. It's definitely a fair argument, but I don't know. To me, obviously during regulation of a game, it's not always an even amount of opportunities, but I just hate a game ending on the coin flip in that case. Yes, the defense, but that game had a feel of whoever got the ball first was going to win, and I hate to see the Chiefs. I think if the Chiefs went down and scored a touchdown to possibly tie it and had to decide go for two to win it or kick the extra point, to me, that would have been great. And there's not enough of those games that I'm worried about the time that much.
Yeah. No, I think it's a good question. I think that had this pass interference thing not happened, I think that overtime rules would have been front and center this offseason, because the NFL is a reactionary league, right? But what are we going to be talking about all offseason now? What's Sean Payton going to be driving as soon as he sits down to start talking at the competition committee meetings this offseason? It's going to be reviewable pass interference, reviewable judgment calls, and really, I mean, as crazy and chaotic as everything is, the NFL really doesn't have the ability to handle more than one of these things in an offseason.
And the Saints have had just soul-crushing losses 2 years in a row with the Vikings game last year. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you wonder. It really is a test. We saw Dan Quinn in Atlanta, and maybe works harder than anybody in the league to try to revamp the culture every year, to juice things up for his players, and he's had a hard time rebounding from that crushing loss in the Super Bowl. And then you think about Sean, and it's like, wow, I mean, you know, first it was the Minnesota Miracle, and now it's this, and, you know, really, I mean, what's the message going to be? You know, how hard do you have to work to make this a functional team again next year? And it's tough. I mean, you know, but there are players that are still struggling down there, you know, in terms of getting over bounty gate, what happened there.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, man, it's an awful lot on his shoulders.
We're talking with Connor Orr, the MMQB. Connor, more impressive feat, Tom Brady getting to 8 straight AFC championship games or LeBron James getting to 8 straight NBA finals?
Huh. That's a great – well, I'm aware that I'm on the Cleveland market here. So
that's all right.
I said it was
Brady, so did my partner. So you're not going to get in trouble.
I think so. I know next to nothing about basketball, but I would say, like, my baseline take there would be that he was able to move around a couple times and sort of, pick some of the best teams. Tom Brady's carried some really bad Patriots teams to the AFC championship game, as has LeBron. Into the Super Bowl. But I think what really stunned me was, I think I heard this morning, he's started at quarterback in 17% of all the Super Bowls. Think about that.
Wow, that's insane.
Almost a fifth of every Super Bowl has contained Tom Brady. So I think that is just stunning to me. And, you know, at the end of the day, my hope is that we all kind of stop this sort of endless debate and just – realize that we're catching the tail end of something really awesome here, and we should be able to sit back and enjoy this and say, wow. I mean, because none of us are ever going to see anything like this.
No,
again.
Never. You think they didn't get it done last year against Nick Foles. Who do you like in the Super Bowl this year?
I mean, at this point, you know, I have to like the Patriots. You know, the Rams are interesting to me. I mean, I think that if their running game doesn't get solved here in a big way, and if Todd Gurley remains as sidelined as he's been, whether that's due to an injury that they don't really want to fully disclose or whatever's going on there, I mean, I think that they're half the team that they were, because Todd Gurley's such an essential part of that. The running game is so important, and I was impressed with some of the big-time throws that Jared Goff had to make and did make, but that's not how they're set up. They need a full-strength Todd Gurley to be able to beat the Patriots.
I'm just – yeah, Connor, I'm rooting for the Rams. I'm not a Rams fan, but I'm rooting for the Rams because – you know, a lot of people are getting sick of all the Sean McVay love. I'm sick of the NFL writers who hate Sean McVay and get annoyed by all the Sean McVay love. So I'm against those guys, and they all want to write how Sean McVay lost. And so now I'm rooting for him to win to shut all those guys up. What say you on that?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. You know, I wrote last week, you know, since we kind of have this tendency to put all these coaches into buckets, you know, I was curious to say, you know, what would a lot of the owners think if Sean McVay got blown out, you know, in New Orleans? You know, would they regret hiring Zach Taylor and Cliff Kingsbury, right, and Matt LaFleur and all those guys looking for the next young, hot offensive coordinator? Would they be concerned, you know, that maybe Sean McVay's not getting it done in the playoffs? And I think that it's a good thing for the league to have him in the Super Bowl. I think it's a better thing for the league to have him win that Super Bowl, because we need new coaches. We need new ideas, and you know, we need more of a breath of fresh air, and I think McVay's done that, and I think that's only a positive for the people who like football.
Last thing, Connor, a lot of people like football here in Cleveland. They're excited about the future. Freddie Kitchens, people are pretty pumped about that. Certainly everybody here is bananas for Baker Mayfield, and it feels like the Browns have finally found a franchise quarterback for the first time in over two decades. I have said that if the Browns don't make the playoffs next year, it will be a disappointment. Not that it's a sure thing, but it will be disappointing. How do you feel about the Browns right now, Baker and the coaching hire and all that?
Yeah, I mean, I think what fascinated me about that hire was, and you know, I'm not questioning it, but I'll, you know, because I think that John Dorsey definitely deserves a lot of credit for what he's been able to do there. But they had to decide, was Freddie Kitchens, you know, was what he was doing offensively great, or was it just because no one's seen him before and wasn't sure how to defend him? You know, was what he was doing with the players awesome, or was it just that everyone was happy that Hugh Jackson was out of the building and you're kind of riding that momentum? But I think they've made their decision. You know, if you talk to any of his former coworkers, quarterbacks, running backs that he's worked with, everyone says amazing things about him. They might have just unearthed, you know, one of the great overlooked coaches of his time. And I think, you know, what a phenomenal story where finally Cleveland finds their head coach in the most unlikely of places.
Connor, great stuff. Great work today. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.